For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is March 19th, Shmuel, and we are up to Perikov of chapter 26. We ended last time with the story of David and Naval, and Naval's death, and David subsequently marrying Abigail, and also marrying Ahinoam, and then Shaul giving away Michal to Palti ben Laish. That was our last discussion. Vayavo Azifim, and the Zifim came El Shaul to Shaul. Now, the Zifim, anybody remember who they are? The Zifim were the people who were living around the area that David was hiding, and Shaul had enlisted their help to track down David.
Are they the ones that gave him up?
Yeah. They were loyal to Shaul, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with being loyal to Shaul. And they came to tell Shaul about David. This was back in Perek Chaf Gil in chapter 23, in Pasuk Yotes, verse 19. It says, Vayalu Zifim el Shaul hagivasa lemar. Zifim came to Shaul to tell him that David was hiding with them in the Mitsudos in Charoshes. So that they gave away his location. So Shaul came to get David at that time. And that was the time when he almost caught David, and then the Plishtim attacked. So then he had to leave. Now the Zifim come back to Shaul, and they tell him again. So they come to Shaul Hagivasa to Giva, Lamor saying, Haro David Mistatir Begivasa Ha Chachila. David is hiding in Givasa Chachila Al Pnei HaYeshimon. So they tell him again David's whereabouts, which is very similar to where he was the first time that they came and told Shaul about his whereabouts. And so now again they tell him. Now, the Zifim David speaks about in Sefer Tehillim, and he makes reference to how they were out to get him and that Hashem saved him from them. So, in my mind, it's unclear whether the Zifim are looked at as people who are simply loyal to Shaul, or are they looked at as people who are acting incorrectly in the way that they seem to be hunting David down. The one time that they did it before is one thing, and here they do it again, so there's a pattern developing, so it's unclear to me. The other thing is that the first time the Zifim came to Shaul, Shaul was already in pursuit of David. Here, since the incident of the cutting off of the cloak, the corner of the cloak of Shaul, Shaul has not been pursuing David. And now, because the Zifim come to Shaul, Shaul is now going to pursue David once again. Now, of course, this is because of the Ruach Ra, again, it's the evil spirit that besets Shaul, and giving away the wife of David to somebody else was also an act of aggression, but still, he has not been actively chasing David, and with the Zifim's new report, so now Shaul reacts. Vayakam Shaul got up, Vayemid El Midbar Zif, he came down to the wilderness of Zif. V'ito shloshes alafim ish, he took with him 3,000 men. Bechurei Yisrael, of the chosen ones of Yisrael, meaning the best warriors. Levakesh es David b'midbar Zif, to seek David in the wilderness of Zif. Vayichan Shaul begivas ha'chachila, asher al pnei Yeshimon. So Shaul then encamped in givas ha'chachila, which was facing the Yeshimon, this is the area, al hadarech, on the road. So he's seeking David, and he's not going into a city, he's on the road, and he encamps. V'David Yoshev Bamidbar, David was dwelling in the wilderness. V'yar kiva Shaul acharav Hamidbar, and he saw that Shaul was coming after him to the wilderness. He had scouts, and they found out that Shaul was on the way. Vayishlach David Meraglim, David sent spies. Vayeda ki Vashol al Nachon, and he knew that David, that Shaul had certainly come. And he confirmed that Shaul was in the area. Vayakam David, so David got up. Vayavo el amakom asher chona sham Shaul, he came to the place that Shaul was encamped. Vayar David es hamakom asher shachav sham Shaul, he saw the place that Shaul was sleeping. Avner ben Ner sarid Sivao, and Avner ben Ner his general. Vishol shokev bama'ag, means Shaul's general. Vishol shokev bama'agol, Shaul was sleeping in the circle, meaning he was surrounded. Za'am chonim sivio sav, and the nation were encamped around him. So Shaul was asleep, it was nighttime, and he was surrounded by his soldiers in a circle. And Avner, his general, was there as well. Vayan David, and David called out, Vayomer el Achimelech Hachiti ve'el Avishai ben Tsruya. He said to Achimelech the Hachiti, one of his men, and Avishai ben Tsruya, Achi Yoav, Avishai ben Tsruya was the brother of Yoav, Lamar saying. Now let's just discuss the family tree here for a moment. Yoav ben Tsruya is going to be David's trusted general throughout Shmuel Beis. When David becomes king and is recognized as king, Yoav is going to be his general. Yoav is a great Talmud Chacham, and we will see the different things that go on between David and Yoav. Tsruya is David's sister. Yoav ben Tsruya is David's nephew. That's what Yoav ben Tsruya, that's who Yoav ben Tsruya is. Yoav has two brothers. One of them is Avishai, who's mentioned over here, and one of them is Asael, who we'll see later in Shmuel Beis. Avishai is also going to be one of the trusted right-hand men of David, and one of his great warriors, as we'll see later on in Shmuel Beis as well. So, and we're going to see about him over here. But the fact that he's called Avishai ben Tsruya, the brother of Yoav, calls our attention to the fact that of the three brothers, Yoav is the standout. Yoav is the greatest of the three, and therefore he's referred to as Avishai, the brother of Yoav. Yeah?
It wasn't overkill for Shaul to have 3,000 men with him?
Well, he's hunted David before, and it hasn't worked. So, David now has 600 men. So he wants to make sure he has overwhelming numbers. So, he says to Achimelech Hachiti and to Avishai ben Tsruya, the brother of Yoav, Lamar saying, Mi'eved iti el Shaul el hamachaneh, who will go down with me to Shaul to the camp? Now, he's not suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
David sees something very important. And he says, who will go down with me? Vayomer Avishai, and Avishai said, Ani'eved imach, I will go down with you. Vayavo David v'Avishai el ha'am, David and Avishai came to the nation, Lila, in the evening. They were in the nighttime. V'nei Shaul shokhev yashen b'magol, Shaul was lying and sleeping in the middle of the circle. V'achaniso me'ucha v'aretz, and his sword was what's the word? Was
stuck
into the ground. Yeah, there's a word for it. Was what?
Impaled.
Yeah, okay, whatever it is. In the ground. What's that?
I said plunge.
Plunge into the ground. Okay, at his head, near David, near Shaul's head, like ready to grab it if he needed it. The Avner v'ha'am shalchim sivosav, and Avner and the nation were all lying down around him. They were all asleep, which is highly unusual.
Mm-hmm. One at least should have been awake.
One at least should have been awake, but more than that, I mean, in the truth is they would have been in shifts, and right, you would have had at any given time several hundred men awake while the rest were sleeping. But here they were all asleep, and we'll see later that this was something that Hashem caused. Vayomer Avishai lo David. So Avishai said to David, this is going to be this will be a similar scene as to what happened in the cave when Shaul came into the cave and his men insisted that David kill Shaul. Avishai says to David, Sigar Elokim Hayom es oyivcha v'yadecha, Hashem has given over your enemy into your hands. This is clearly divine that they're all sleeping. That is a sign that God is giving you Shaul to kill. Ve'ata, and now Akenu na, I will strike him now, Bachanis uva'aretz pamachas, with a sword and into the ground one time. Meaning, I'm not going to have to stab him twice. He's sleeping, I'll just take the sword, I'll I'll cut his head off. It'll go straight through into the ground. That'll be that. It'll be done. I won't have to repeat it. It'll just be boom, real quick, and we'll be out of here. No one will know the difference. Vayomer David el Avishai, and David said to Avishai, Al tashchisehu, do not destroy him. Ki mi shalach yado b'mishiach Hashem v'nika, who can send his hand against the Anointed One of Hashem and be clean. Vayomer David said, Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem, ki im Hashem yigafenu, that Hashem will strike him down. O yomo yabo v'meis, or his day will come and he will die, meaning he'll reach the end of his life. O v'milchama yerei v'nisfa, or he'll go down into war and be gathered in. Meaning, Shaul will not be killed by me or my men. Either Hashem will strike him down, as Hashem struck down Naval, or he'll die a natural death, or he'll go to war and be killed in war. But we're not doing it. Chalim alimei Hashem, chas v'shalom, it should be profane for me from Hashem. Mishloach yadi b'mashiach Hashem, to send my hand against the Anointed One of Hashem. V'atoy now, kach noes hachanis Hashem erashosav, take the sword that is at his head, he tells Avishai, v'sapachas hamayim, and the pitcher of water, v'nel chalonu. Now there was no pitcher of water mentioned until now, but there evidently was a pitcher of water there. Evidently it was Shaul's pitcher, maybe his canteen. So take it, and we'll go. Vayikach David es hachanis v'sapachas hamayim me'ra'ashosei Shaul. David took the sword and the pitcher of water from the head of Shaul. Vayelchu lahem, and they left. Ve'ein ro'eh, no one saw. Ve'ein yodeh, no one knew. Ve'ein mekitz, no one awoke. Ki chulam yishenim, they were all asleep. Ki tandim mas Hashem nafla alayhem, for the sleep of Hashem was upon them. Hashem knocked them out. Vayavar David ha'aver. David then went to the other side, meaning he went like beyond where they were. Vayamar al rosh ha'har, and he stood on top of the mountain Me'rachok from a distance. Rav hamakom b'neim, a great distance between them. Vayikra David al ha'am, and David called out to the nation. Now Avner ben Ner, and also to Avner ben Ner, Lamar saying, Halo sana Avner, Avner, won't you answer? Vayan Avner vayomer, Avner answered and said, Miata karasa al hamelach, who are you to call to the king? Vayomer David al Avner, David said to Avner, Halo ish ata, but behold, you are a man. Umi chamacha bi Yisrael, who is like you amongst the Jewish people? You Avner, the great warrior Avner, also the great Talmud Chacham Avner. Why did you not guard your master, the king? For one of the nation has come to destroy the king, your master. This is not good that you did. I swear by Hashem, you are all deserving death. You did not guard your master, the Anointed One of Hashem. And now, where is the sword of the king? The sapachas hamayim, and the pitcher of water, Hashem Rashosav, that was at his head. So David is saying, I have them. You were all sleeping. I could have killed them. Where were you? Vayaker Shaul es kol David, and Shaul recognized the voice of David. Vayomer, and he said, Hakol chaz ebni David, is this your voice, my son David? So again, Shaul softens. Just as last time, Shaul softens. Vayomer David, and David said, Koli Adoni HaMelech, it is my voice, my master, the king. As always, David shows his deference to the king, humbles himself to the king. Now, David is now going to go into a lengthy admonishment and plea to Shaul about this chasing of David. But David has reached the conclusion that he can no longer stay in Eretz Yisrael. The next parak is going to find that David is going to leave Eretz Yisrael because he sees that he is no longer safe. Now you recall that David has left Eretz Yisrael one time before, and at that time he had to come right back into Eretz Yisrael. He ran to Achish, and when he did that, his life was in danger and he had to act like a lunatic and get out of there. We pointed out then that it was not yet time for him to leave. Hashem wanted him to stay in Israel, and he wanted him to continue to be on the run, but slowly but surely build up his reputation amongst the Jewish people as really being the successor to Shaul. Now David sees there is no choice. Now he really needs to leave. There is no place for him to go. There is no place for him to hide. There is no. Hashem does not send a regiment of Plishtim to attack the Jewish people. So David, like he did at that time, that Shaul will now run away. David sees that even after he cut off the cloak of Shaul, and Shaul was placated, he still turns around and runs after David. David sees there's no way out, that he's going to have to leave. So now he goes on with this long speech, as we'll see, and there'll be a little bit of give and take between Shaul and David, but in the end, David is going to leave. Vayomer, he said, Lama ze Adoni rodif acharei avdo, why is my master chasing after his servant? Kimel asisi, what did I do? Uma biyadi ra, what is in my hands evil? Ve'atayneu yishmana Adoni amelech, my master the king, please listen. Es divrei avdo, to the words of his servant. Im Hashem hasis chavi, if Hashem has turned you against me, meaning that this is from Hashem, the ruach ra, the evil spirit that's besetting you, if that's what's happening, yarach mincha, then you should accept my entreaty. Yarach can be to smell, which is the language used when Hashem has the carbon to Hashem. Says that he was yarach as reyach hanichalach. He smelled the pleasant smell. Hashem doesn't have a nose. Hashem doesn't smell, but it means that Hashem kiviyachol, so to speak, liked the sacrifice. So he's saying over here, accept my mincha, my entreaty to you. So if it's Hashem that's sending you against me, then please accept my plea. V'im b'nei ha'adam, and if it's people who are sending you against me, arurim heim lifnei Hashem, they should be cursed in front of Hashem. Why should they be cursed before Hashem? Ki gershuni hayom, because they have chased me away today. Mehistapeach benachalas Hashem, from living in the portion of Hashem. They're chasing me out of Israel. Lamar saying, Lech avod Elohim achirim, go and serve other gods. The Gemara derives from here that someone who could be in Israel and leaves, it is as if they are serving other gods. It's like worshipping idols, to leave Israel. So David is saying, you're chasing me out of Israel, that is like I am being told to serve other gods. It's questionable whether that applies today, since we don't really have the country in the way that they did at that time. But at any rate,
isn't the land holy anyway?
The land is holy. The question is whether this applies or not. But David, who could have been living there peacefully, and now he has to run away, so he is saying that is as if I am being told to serve other gods. V'atoneu al yipol dami arza, my blood should not fall to the ground. Mineged pnei Hashem, from before Hashem. Ki yatsa melech Yisrael levakesh es parosh echad, for because the king of Yisrael has come out to seek a bug, one bug. He refers to himself as a bug. Kasher yirdof hakorei baharim, like the korei, which is a type of bird, will chase through the mountains. The korei is a bird. The Gemara says it in several places. Is a bird that goes and steals the children of other birds. It entices other birds to follow it.
Cowbird?
I have no idea what that is.
Cowbird knocks other eggs out of the nest and then lays its own in
the nest. No. This, it takes the young of other birds.
Oh, okay.
I think it entices them to go with it.
Okay.
So here, you're seeking me out, like the korei goes and seeks out other birds in the mountains. So, yeah.
What's the point? Isn't it futile? If God has...
Let me finish. We're going to get to all the questions. So let's get through. We have a lot to read. We have a lot to cover over here. We'll have to go through. Okay. Vayomer Shaul and Shaul. So that's David's speech so far. Vayomer Shaul and Shaul said, Chatasi, I have sinned. Shuv bini David, come back, my son David. Kilo ara lecha, I will not do evil to you, Od, anymore. Tachas asher yakra nafshi be'inecha hayom hazeh, in place of the fact that my soul was precious to you in your eyes today. Notice you didn't kill me. Hine hiskalti, I have sinned. Va'eshge, another word for sin, harbe mod, very much. So Shaul admits his sin and he asks David to come back. And Shaul is sincere. Right now Shaul has been snapped out of his evil spirit. And he's saying to David, okay, come back. But David knows that that can't happen anymore. Vayan David vayomer, David answered and he said, Hine hachanis hamelech, here is the sword of the king. Let one of the lads come and get it. Now send one of your people up here to get the sword. Hashem yashiv lo ish es tikaso ves emunaso. Hashem should return to the man his righteousness and his faithfulness. Means Hashem should pay me back for all the righteousness and faithfulness that I didn't kill you. Hashem nesoncha Hashem ayom biyad, that Hashem gave you over in my hand. Velo avisi lishtarach yadi b'mshach Hashem, I do not want to send my hand against the anointed one of Hashem. And behold, just as your soul was elevated today in my eyes, Kein tigdal nafshi b'nei Hashem, so too my soul should be elevated in the eyes of Hashem. V'yatzileni nikol tzarei, she saved me from all troubles. V'yomer Shaul el David, Shaul said to David, Baruch ata b'nei David, blessed are you, my son David. Gam aso sa'aseh, also you shall do. Gam yachol tuchol, you will also be successful. Vayelech David l'darko, David went on his way. V'shaul shavlim kamon, Shaul went back on his way. And therefore, at this point, it is clear that if there's any hope for a peaceful, non-traumatic transition, it is that hope is, if not it's completely extinguished, it's almost completely extinguished. Because at this point, David sees there's no way. No matter what I do, he's gonna, even when he turned around and he said that he wants me to return to him, I know I'm not safe, and I'm gonna have to leave. Okay, now, so the Zifim tells Shaul that he's hiding in their area, and Shaul comes to get him. Now, David finds out where Shaul is, and he goes there. It says in Pasuk A, verse 5, David got up, went to the place that Shaul was encamped. And David saw where they were sleeping, and he saw Avner ben Ner over there, and Shaul was sleeping, they were all around him, they were all asleep. Now, it would be one thing if David was he was walking and he happened to see all of them asleep. Remember in the cave, when Shaul came into the cave and he was using it to relieve himself, that's why he was in the cave, and he didn't realize that David and his men were hiding deeper in that cave. So it was, as the men told David, this is a godsend. I mean, here your enemy is right there and he's available for you to kill him. He has no protection. Kill him. And David has to fight with them and say, I am not killing him. That's not what we're doing over here. And remember we talked about last time that brought to a head the two great attributes of Shaul and of David. Shaul's great attribute of tznius, of modesty, and David's great attribute of humility and faithfulness to Hashem, that he was not going to kill the Mashiach Hashem. And we said that over there, Hashem was bringing the two together, and that was the great test. If David would have tried to kill Shaul, that would have proven that Shaul was a greater man than David, because Shaul was at least showing his great attribute, and David would have failed in his attribute. David there was being tested severely to see, is he living up to Shaul? Is David excelling in his great way, as great as Shaul's excelling in his great way? But there, Shaul stumbled into where David was. Mm-hmm. David stumbled onto Shaul. It happened. Here, David seeks out Shaul. Why is David seeking out Shaul? You would think that if they come to, they're hunting down David, then David should now try to outmaneuver Shaul and get away, like he has done before. And it's been unsuccessful before. In the end, Hashem had to save him, like with the Plishtim coming to attack, like with the story in the cave. But to go there to where Shaul is, why would David do that? It's almost as if David knows that something is going to happen. He may not know exactly what's going to happen. He may not have known they're all going to be asleep. But it's almost as if David knows that The way to handle this is not to run. The way to handle this is to go there, and Hashem is going to take care of me, one way or another. Somehow, there's going to be something that will happen that will give me the ability to deal with this. So, why does David think that way? David gets there, and he sees they're all asleep. And he says to first to Achimelech Achiti and to Avishai ben Tsruya, who will come down with me? And Avishai says, I'll go down with you. So they go down. And when they get there, Avishai says to David, like in the cave, hey, this is obviously the hand of God. What, he's serving him to you. He's serving him to you on a silver platter. This is obviously Hashem's will is to kill him. David says, obviously it's Hashem's will that I do not kill him, because he's the Mashiach Hashem. He's the anointed one of Hashem. I won't do it. But in Pasuk Yud, in verse 10, Vayomer David says, Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem that the way Shaul is going to die is not through me. It's going to be either through Hashem's hand, or meaning a plague, or through a natural death, or through war. But I'm not going to do it. Our sages tell us, why did he swear? Why did he swear? So our sages say, Chazal say, he swore in order to prevent Avishai from killing Shaul, because Avishai was ready to do it. Because Avishai is totally loyal to David. Avishai knows David is also the Mashiach Hashem. This man Shaul is chasing down the Mashiach Hashem. This man Shaul is Chayav Misa. He needs to be killed. So Avishai is ready to kill Shaul altruistically. And David is saying, you will not, and I swear you are not going to. But Chazal also say David was swearing to his own inclination. David was sorely tempted to do it. And like in the cave, he had to actually literally fight his men not to do it. Here, he has to fight his men and fight himself. I am not going to do it. And he won't kill Shaul. The incredible inner strength that David has. And we've seen this over and over again. David's unbelievable inner strength. He will not do it. So he swears he won't do it. But then he tells Avishai, go take the sword and the flask. That's what he says in Pasuk Yod Aleph, verse 11. Go take it. But in Yod Beis, in verse 12, it says, and David took the sword and the flask. The commentaries point this out, and they say, first David told Avishai to do it, which would be the natural thing, because Avishai is acting as David's attendant, even though Avishai himself was of great stature, but he's with David. So he's as if David took him down with him as his attendant. So when you're ready to take something, it's going to be Avishai who's going to do the work. But then, after he told Avishai to do it, David then had second thoughts, stopped Avishai, and he went and did it himself. Because David was concerned that if Avishai gets too close, he's not going to be able to control himself, and he will kill Shaul. I'm just going to show you how tempting it was to kill Shaul at this time. They were really, really tempted to do it. Really tempted to do it. The signs pointed to this being Hashem's will. Hashem put him to sleep, and everybody's asleep. No one will even know. We could kill him and walk away, and no one will know until they wake up in the morning and find him dead. They could have gotten away with it completely, and that would have ended everything. And it's not just it's not just they have the opportunity. It's clearly miraculous. So it's almost like Hashem is announcing to them, kill him. So David therefore did not let Avishai get close, and David himself goes and takes the sword. And you pick up that sword. What's the next obvious thing to do? Wham! Right? So he picked up the sword himself, picked up the flask, and walked away. And you can imagine the inner strength. I mean, David, he's fighting with himself. As he picks up that sword, the urge to just take that sword and end it right here. And instead, he turns around and walks away. Yeah?
Is this where he took off the part of his clothes?
No, that was in the cave.
That was in the cave.
That was last time. That was in the cave. Okay. So why does David go? It's almost like he knows there's going to be something like this happening. Mm-hmm. So let's look at it from David's perspective. Remember that the whole time that this has gone on, David has incrementally moved further and further away from Shaul. He's distanced himself incrementally. At first, he didn't run away. At first, he stayed. At first, he played for him. He was married to his daughter. He was trying to be completely faithful to Shaul within Shaul's own household and as his own general. As that clearly wasn't working, David has to run away. David does run away. Eventually, he's in hiding. Yonasan comes to him. They devise a plan about shooting the arrows. That plan was whether David should remain, even though Shaul was out to kill David. Maybe Hashem wants David to remain anyway. The arrows, which was a miraculous thing, was a sign, pointed, no, that David is to run away. That Hashem wants him to run away. So David does run away. He runs out of the country. But immediately when he runs out of the country, he has to run back to the country because of the threat to his own life. So he realizes, no, even though Hashem wanted him to run away, he didn't want him to run away from the country. So he wants me in the country. So he remains in the country. And as he remains in the country, there's incident after incident after incident of Shaul trying to track down David. He tracks him down, the Plishtim attack, Shaul has to leave. Then he tracks him down again, you have the incident of the cave. With the incident in the cave, David now realizes that he, David, has withstood a tremendous test. Kill Shaul or don't kill Shaul. And David could have done it. And he sees that Hashem put him through that test. Will you kill Shaul or not? When Hashem put David through that test, will you kill Shaul or not? The tables were turned. The whole situation was reversed. Literally, even a hafochu. It turned on its head. David was the victim being chased by Shaul. And instead, Hashem arranged things that Shaul was easily the victim that David could have killed. So Hashem took the pursued, right? And made him the pursuer. Exactly. David is the pursued, greatly outnumbered by Shaul. Shaul has with him the entire army of Israel. I mean, he's very, very powerful. David has his handful of men. David is the pursued. Shaul is the pursuer, and Hashem, just like that, puts the situation where all of a sudden Shaul could easily be the pursued, even though Shaul doesn't realize it, and David is the pursuer. And David has to fight himself and his men to not kill Shaul. That's what happened in the cave. David sees from there that the test is no longer going to be whether Shaul is going to kill me or not.
Mm-hmm.
The test is going to be whether I am going to kill Shaul or not.
Mm-hmm.
David sees Hashem is no longer interested in David's life being threatened. Hashem is more interested in David needing to fight himself to keep from killing Shaul. When Shaul's men show up again, now, David knows it's not my life that's in danger. Yes, they're after me. Yes, he has 3,000 men. I only have 600. Yes, if we would have a battle, we would lose and I would be caught and killed if the natural order played out. But the natural order isn't playing out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened in the cave. So David knows that that's not what's going on over here. And in the cave, I was given the opportunity to prove my innocence by not killing Shaul. I was given the opportunity to do so. David knows that if he's after me again, that it is likely that that's going to happen again. That Hashem is going to give me the opportunity to prove my innocence rather than kill Shaul. He's aware of this tension. Now, he doesn't just go walk right up to the camp. He does go to where the camp is and he looks down upon it and immediately sees that his hunch was 100% correct. They're all asleep. So in the end, the 3,000 the overwhelming power of the 3,000 men has been reduced to nothing. Right, theoretical. They're nothing. They are all vulnerable. He could kill every one of them. And David now sees, again, that Hashem has turned the tables, this time in a much more miraculous way. So David then understands from the cave, knowing about the cave story, that my job over here is not to kill Shaul. My job is, again, to show Shaul and show his men, and show my men, and show all of Klal Yisrael, those living in their time, and those living in the year 5774 in Atlanta, Georgia, that I am faithful and will not kill the Mashiach Hashem. I could have, but I won't. That's what David sees over here. Avishai sees, as anybody else would have seen, like we would have seen the same thing as Avishai, that Hashem has given over your enemy in your hands. Kill him. David sees, Hashem has given me another opportunity to prove my loyalty to him by not killing him. And therefore he goes and he takes the sword and the flask. Later on, Avner is one of those tragic figures who is himself a great Talmud Chacham and is loyal to Shaul, as he should be. He was the one, you'll recall, that when they got to Nov and Shaul wanted Nov killed out, Avner refused to do it. Because Avner said, you're the king, we listen to you, but now when it comes to violating the Torah, I'm not going to kill Nov. Doeg is the one who kills Nov and loses his portion of the world to come because of that. But Avner won't do it. Later, after Shaul's death, Avner and David will have a reconciliation. Because Avner really is a righteous person, a very righteous person, a very pious, righteous person, a great Talmud Chacham, and an absolutely accomplished and powerful warrior. We're going to see that in Shmuel Beis. In the end, Avner is going to be killed. The way he is killed, we'll see, only goes to show his great strength and how dangerous he was in battle. But he will be killed. The Gemara asks, why was Avner killed? What did he do that deserved that he should meet an untimely death? So the Gemara gives several answers. One of the answers is that when David cut the corner off of Shaul's cloak, and then proved to Shaul, look, I could have killed you and didn't. Later, after Shaul then said to David, oh, I see you're very faithful. I see you're, you know, I'm not gonna chase you. I see you're gonna be king. Later, Avner said to Shaul, you know, it doesn't prove that David could have killed you. It's possible that you were walking by some thorns and your cloak got caught on the thorn and David was there and he took the corner of the cloak. You don't know for a fact that David could have killed you and didn't. So because Avner took away, he blunted the proof that David had that he could have killed him and didn't, so that because of that, Avner deserved to die. And that's one of the things that he did that he deserved to die for. Here, the Gemara says, this is Yerushalmi, the Gemara says that this is what David means. When David calls out and he says, in Pasuk Yudal, verse 14, Vayikon David al Ha'am vel Avner ben Ner. David called to the nation to Avner ben Ner. Halo sane Avner. Avner, won't you answer? The Gemara says, David was saying to Avner, last time you claimed that the cloak got caught on the thorns. Did the sword and the flask of water also get caught on the thorns?
No, they won't.
How did that happen? Right? So he's challenging Avner. He's not just He's singling on Avner, not just because Avner is the general, but also because he wants to call into question Avner's rejoinder to David's proof from last time. Now, I don't know how David knew that Avner had said this, but David has spies, and you know who knows what kind of information is being disseminated. So here he wants to prove it. The Gemara says that later again, Avner said to Shaul, you know, again, it doesn't prove it. It is possible that that one of the lads gave your things to David. You don't know for a fact what happened. So because Avner is supporting Shaul, and this is not just a battle over who has the power. This is a battle over what does Hashem want. Everybody's trying to show that Hashem is on my side. David, his men said, David, Hashem wants you to kill him. David says, no, Hashem wants me not to kill him. That's what Hashem wants. But to prove that Hashem is with me. Avner is trying to say, not necessarily. Hashem may not be with him. Hashem might still be with you. Avner wasn't a bad person. He wasn't doing something evil over here. He was just saying, you don't know for sure that this proves that Hashem is with David. You don't know. So because of that, this is going to be one of the things that Avner will deserve to die because of.
And why? Why was this Avner, such a great Talmud Chachma and has such great knowledge? What happened that he missed the boat, that he didn't see?
That's a good question. So that's a good point. With Nov, he didn't miss the boat. There he understood, right? He didn't do it over there. He didn't kill Noah. He understood. We don't go there. But over here, you're right. And I don't know why. Why does David take the sword and the flask?
You can't survive without either one.
Okay.
The sword is a symbol of power.
Okay, the sword is a symbol of power. And what's the water a symbol of?
Torah.
Okay, it's true. But what did you say before?
You can't survive without either one.
Okay. So David could take whatever he wants. They're all sleeping. Now the sword, that is probably the most significant thing to take from the king, other than the crown itself, which I'm sure David wouldn't have touched. But the sword, I mean that's the personal possession of the king, and it's the thing that Shaul is using to hunt David with. If they would have caught David and they would have executed David, how would it have happened? Most likely it would have been Shaul's sword, right? Mm-hmm. So he takes the sword. It's symbolic of taking away Shaul's power. I could have killed you, and I took your sword instead. I took the thing which is most precious to you at this time. I took that sword away from you. And the flask of water, it was almost an afterthought, because at first it only says the sword was near his head. That's what they noticed. They saw the sword was near the head of Shaul. But there was also a flask of water. They took that as well. So that's symbolic of?
Life, Torah.
Okay, well, it could be Torah. It could be, and could be life and survival.
I have a different...
Go ahead.
I know you're aiming for
something. Go.
Is it also the anointing?
It would have been oil.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Another way of looking at it, which I'm sure is not what you're aiming for.
I can aim for a lot of things. Go ahead.
Is that he took the greatest possession and the least possession, uh-huh. Which shows that he could have taken anything. He took the greatest and he took the least.
Okay, that's nice.
And so he didn't take spoils. He just took the most significant and the most insignificant, which means he could take anything.
Right. Okay, that's very good. That's very good. So he just took those things which would show that he had him completely in his power. I could have killed you also. Yeah, I could have done anything I wanted.
It also shows, I think, that it wasn't just some servant boy who like picked the sword up out of the ground and carried it to David. No servant boy would think of picking up this insignificant flask of water.
Okay.
And you know, another thing that occurred to me, but it's most far off track probably, is that he's taking a flask of water, assuming there's still water in it when he gets to the top of the mountain. It shows he did not run in haste, you know?
Uh-huh.
He just proceeded, you know?
Right. Okay.
But anyway, I like
He could have filled it up again.
Of course.
Okay. But it definitely shows that he had time
in
the circle.
Right.
It wasn't like he ran and grabbed the sword and ran out.
Right.
He was able to be discerning.
And he could also even have the time to see it at night, you know? It wasn't like a big thing stuck in the ground.
The flask was not. The sword was, but the flask was not. Right. So David takes those things, and then he challenges them, and he says, look, you're all, as they say, ice barfs. Right? You're all good for nothings. What do you do? You all slept. How do you not protect the king? David is not just poking fun. David is saying to them, you're dealing with the Mashiach Hashem over here. You're not dealing with some monarch of some country. You're dealing with the anointed one of Hashem. I understand that. You don't understand that. You fell asleep. Now, David understands that they didn't fall asleep because they wanted to. Hashem put them to sleep. But David is saying to them, Hashem is showing you something symbolic over here. Hashem is showing you that you all are loyal to your king. You all are loyal to him as the Mashiach Hashem. I'm more loyal than you are. You fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
That shows that in terms of really who is more loyal, I'm the most loyal. You didn't do your job. I could have killed him and I didn't. And you all fell asleep. David then, he says, if Hashem incited you, thank you. Incited you against me, then accept my entreaty, and if not, and if it's a people, they should be cursed, for they have chased me away today from serving Hashem. Now I'm going to have to leave. So David is under no pretense that now he understands that this is not going to be satisfactory, even if Shaul comes around, which he does. But David knows that this is not going to save him. He's going to have to run away. Yeah.
Did you give us the answer of why he took the cruise of water?
No, I liked Dr. Farney's answer. I liked it better than what I was going to say.
I didn't hear it. What was that? I didn't hear it.
Well, did I say the answer for why he took the water?
Or your answer?
So what was my answer?
So Dr. Fari's answer was that he took the greatest
and the less.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Oh, I see. Right.
Now, so David knows that he can't stay. That even though Hashem has given him another opportunity to prove his loyalty, he can't stay. He's still going to be hunted down. David knows this. That means, let's go back. I said before that David knew there was going to be an opportunity here. But whereas with the cave, when that opportunity happened, David was hoping that that would end this business of chasing him. And it did for a short time. But then it started again. This time, even as David is going, knowing there'll be an opportunity, he knows that that's not going to prevent him from having to leave the country. He knows he has to leave the country. He knows this before he finds them asleep. He knows, even though he's aware, Hashem is going to take care of me, he's not going to let me be killed. In fact, he's going to give me the opportunity to do the killing, and I'm not going to kill. Still, at the end of the day, I'm going to have to leave. He knows this. And he recognizes that in his speech, he has to incorporate this. I am loyal. I am not out to get you. I am loyal to Hashem. You are the Mashiach Hashem. I recognize that. If no one else does, I recognize it. And now, I'm going to leave the country. Because I realize that this is just not going to work. This is not going to be a peaceful transition. I'm going to have to leave. And that's what he says. He says, but those who are trying to incite you against me should be cursed, because they have made me run away. And David knows there are people who are inciting Shaul. In this case, it was the Ziphim who did it. There's also Doeg and whoever else is involved. He implicates Avner somewhat as well. So he knows this is what's going on, and he's going to have to leave the country. And Shaul says in Chafal 21, I've sinned. David, come back. I won't do evil to you. Shaul means this. He's not trying to trick David over here. He really is sincere. But David does not accept that, knowing that it's just not going to happen. And therefore he says that Hashem should see my loyalty, and as you have become great in my eyes, I should be great in Hashem's eyes. And in Chaf Hei, in 25, the last verse, last pasuk, Shaul gets the last word. And Shaul says, Vayomer Shaul el David, Baruch atah b'ni David. He's accepted this. Shaul understands. David's not coming back. He's got it. I understand this. And he says, David, you are blessed. You're benched. Gama sosasei v'gam yachol tuchol. You're going to be successful. I know it. I got it. You're going to be successful. Shaul, when he is of sound mind, is not unwilling to give up the throne for David. When he's of sound mind, he understands. He got it. David is going to be great. David is great. And he admits it. He readily admits it. David leaves. Shaul goes back to his place. And that's why in Perachov Zion, chapter 27, which Mr. Shem will start next week, there we're going to have David leaving the country once again. And again he will go to Achish, where he went the first time. Where he went the first time, but he couldn't stay. Now he's going to go back to the same place. We're going to have to explore that, why he would go back to the same place when his life was in danger over there the first time. But then it wasn't time to leave the country. Now he recognizes it is time to leave the country. He was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but he's going to have to leave the country. And that is where David is going to remain. He's going to remain outside the country. We'll see the crafty way that David handles being outside the country. And this is what he will do until Shaul is killed. And when Shaul finally is killed, then David will come back into the country and will assume the position of king. At least, it still won't be that smooth, but it'll be much more so than the position of king.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.